All right, let's start with Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are going to learn about rejoicing and gladness in our tiny teaching today. All right. So we have all been around lamplighters long enough to marvel at God's timing and where he has us when we receive and study a particular story in Scripture. And today is one of those times when I literally couldn't miss how perfectly God has placed us in both celebrations in the Christian and the Jewish faith. And this is a week of feasting and fasting. Last night, perhaps many of you celebrated Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, Shrove Tuesday, whatever you might call it. Our family has celebrated Shrove Tuesday for years. And last night I had the honor of celebrating with a group of young women at UT who I lead through Young Life. And they came over and we made a pancake feast. Which, as you may know, is a centuries-old tradition that is used to use up all the sugar and flour and lard left over from Christmas in preparation for the fasting that begins in Lent. And today, of course, is Ash Wednesday, and many of us will worship together in just a little bit as we begin the solemn and contemplative 40-day journey towards the cross. It is also Valentine's Day today, it's a sea of pink and red. I love it. Y'all look so beautiful, which is a celebration of love. And to top it all off, personally, today is my daughter Ellie's 21st birthday. So I very much have feasting and rejoicing and gladness on my mind. When we first look at the book of Esther as a whole, we see that the story begins and ends with a feast. And in fact, the most pivotal scenes take place during a banquet or feasting. There are 7 feasts and 1 fast in the book. And as you recall from last week, the story begins with a lavish banquet. The banquet of the king. And this was not just a dinner party. As you recall, it was 180 days long. Can you even imagine that? I'm still recovering from Christmas. I can't imagine that we would still be going. But all of this was so that King Xerxes could display his greatness, his splendor, and his power. Today's lesson, which is really the climax of the story, takes place over 2 banquets that Esther hosts for King Xerxes and Haman. The entire story actually hinges on these 2 feasts. Haman was set up at the first feast, and he was taken down at the second. And hopefully y'all will get into the details of that for some lively discussion in your small groups. Finally, the book of Esther ends with the establishment of Purim, sometimes known as the Feast of Lots. Purim is a Jewish holiday in which Jews commemorate being saved from persecution and celebrate their great deliverance. Esther 9:28 says, "And these days of Purim should never cease to be celebrated by the Jews, nor should the memory of them die among their descendants." So what exactly is Purim, and how is it celebrated? The word Purim means lots, and as we know, Haman literally cast lots. He rolled dice to determine what day he would carry out his plans to annihilate the entire Jewish population. And the roll of this dice landed on Adar 14 and 15. Adar is the last month in the Jewish calendar, which roughly lines up with our February or March. And for context, this year Purim begins at sunset on March 23rd and continues through March 24th. Purim is one of the most joyous holidays in the Jewish calendar. The 2-day festival is celebrated in community and consists of 4 main mitzvah. In the Jewish faith, the Hebrew word mitzvah refers to a commandment from God to be performed as a religious duty. The 2-day celebration begins with worshiping and fasting. on Purim Eve. Many Jews observe a fast to commemorate commemorate Esther's fast that she held before meeting with the king. And during this fast, our Jewish friends participate in the first mitzvah, the public reading of the Megillah. And the Megillah is the scroll in which the book of Esther is contained. And at the synagogue or temple, the entire book of Esther is read aloud, and the congregation responds with booing and hissing and stomping of their feet and loud noisemakers whenever Haman's name is mentioned. And this boisterous response is very much on purpose. It's to blot out his name so it could not be heard. And the next day, on the day of Purim, the entire book of Esther is read again in the same festive and boisterous manner. The second mitzvah is festivity and rejoicing. There are carnival-like celebrations over these 2 days with elaborate costumes and dramatic performances from a lot of children will perform from the book of Esther. And one of the reasons that they dress up and wear costumes is to symbolize how Esther hid or disguised her Jewish identity. And of course, there is feasting. One of the most famous food traditions is Haimantaschen cookies. I don't know if y'all have ever had them. You'll be able to find them at the HEB on Far West starting in mid-March, but they're delicious. Haimantaschen cookies are triangular-shaped cookies that are usually filled with fruit or chocolate, sometimes Nutella, and they're triangle-shaped to represent the hat that the villain Haman was supposed to have worn. I have a delicious recipe. I used to teach my kids how to make Haimantaschen. And so we will actually put a recipe up on the website for y'all. You might want to, or you might feel inspired to make Haimantaschen cookies next week for your small group. The third mitzvah, maybe, or buying them at HEB. One of my best friends is Jewish, Julie, and I called Julie and told her that I was going to be talking about Purim today, and she said, oh, you should just make Haimantaschen cookies for everybody, and I went, there's like 100 of them. I don't know that I can get that done, but anyway, the thought is what counts. The third mitzvah is sending food to friends. It's a tradition to visit friends and loved ones on the morning of Purim and deliver baskets of food and homemade prepared treats. And this gift is symbolic. It's supposed to symbolize the spirit of kinship and love that will help prevent the appearance of any future Hamans. And finally, the fourth mitzvah of Purim is giving gifts to the poor. Tradition holds that observant Jews are to give charity to at least 2 people to ensure that all Jews are able to experience the joy and the gladness of Purim. So the book of Esther begins with a feast focused on an earthly king designed to show off power and wealth, and it ends with a feast celebrating Esther's bravery and the salvation of the Jewish people from Haman's decree of death. Like Passover, the Feast of Purim celebrates divine deliverance. Saved from Pharaoh's rule and slavery in Egypt, and later delivered from the destruction planned by Haman, Jews celebrate the deliverance that only God could orchestrate. What does that mean for us today, especially as Christians? The day after the feasting of Fat Tuesday, and on this very solemn day of Ash Wednesday. Well, as believers, we too have cause for great rejoicing and celebration. After Moses and Estes, God sent his own son, Jesus, to deliver each and every one of us from the destruction of death and sin. And that, my friends, is cause to rejoice with gladness. Let's pray. Psalm 150, 1-6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all.